Hello, everyone. We will continue in our Bible study through the book of Psalms. This time we will begin with Psalms chapter 23. So please get your Bible and follow along. You'll get so much more out of this Bible study if you do that. Now we come to one of the most magnificent chapters in the whole Bible, and we could spend hours on this chapter. It's one of the most famous chapters in the Bible. People read it and quote it from foxholes and frontline battle situations, in airplanes that are in trouble, in situations that come along in life that pull us down and discourage us, or just in talking about God or singing about God. But very few people really get the depth of the meaning of Psalms 23. It's more than just a comfortable psalm. It's more than just a verbal salve to smooth our pains or our ruffled feathers. Let's just notice and go a little deeper into the meaning of Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He takes care of us. He's our leader. He's our protector. We follow him wherever he goes. He's our shepherd. Verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, peaceful waters, waters of rest. But notice, he leads me, which means we need to follow him, which means we need to obey him. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The path of righteousness means his commandments. Psalms 119, verse 172 says, all your commandments are righteousness. That's the way of God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We can face death. We can face failure. We can face collapse, financial collapse, family collapse. We can be fired. We can be faced with impossible situations, but they're not impossible because God is with us. He leads us through those terrible times, and he won't leave us or forsake us, and he will provide for us, and he will perform miracles when necessary in order to look after his people who look to him in faith. Even though they walk through the quote-unquote valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You provide me with food and water and clothing and shelter, but you also provide me with spiritual food and satisfy my spiritual hunger and thirst. And you show me the way to live, and you lead me in the path toward the kingdom of God. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Let's think about that a little bit. Let's take a little analysis and assessment of our lives. We have ups and downs and setbacks and successes. But how often can we really and truly say, my cup runs over? We can probably say that more often than we do. We just don't take time to take notice of the blessings. But sometimes our cup doesn't run over, and we need to ask ourselves, why is that? And correct the cause for that. There is a cause for every effect, and as we make the corrections, our cup will begin to fill up with blessings from God, and before we know it, it will be running over with blessings, with peace, with joy, with happiness, with needs provided and even more needs provided, extra things that God just pours out on us, benefits, spiritual ones most importantly, but physical ones too. My cup runs over. We ought to be able to say that, and we can. If we're walking with God and if we have the heart that David had, a man after my own heart, God said, loved God, praised God, sung to God, walked with God, prayed to God, listened to him, obeyed him, glorified him, just was thrilled about his relationship with his creator God, loved to sing to him and praise him and obey him and submit and surrender to him, and then his cup would run over. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What a blessing to count on goodness and mercy following us every day of our life. We can count on that. God is the source of that. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to stay in his church, and one day I'm going to be in his kingdom forever. Because I follow what's outlined here in Psalms 23. What a wonderful psalm. I hope it hasn't become trite and worn out and just kind of a cliche. I hope we can look at it with new understanding and with a freshness and we can grasp the tremendous depth that we find in this psalm. It's not something just to recite and not even pay attention to what the words are saying and the meaning of those words. So if we take another look at Psalms 23 and then study it often, you will see it is truly one of the most strengthening, inspiring, uplifting, and encouraging 6 verses you'll find anywhere in the Bible. You got to remember, of course, that as David was writing this Psalms 23, he was coming from a practical position as well, because after all, he was a shepherd, even a shepherd boy, and later on in young manhood, he was a shepherd. He was out there in the outdoors taking care of livestock and taking care of sheep and drinking in of the creation of God and being overwhelmed with the glory of the night sky as he would sleep out in the open, carrying out his responsibility as a shepherd. And so these words, this fountain just came bubbling over that was inside of David regarding how he took care of those in his flock as their shepherd. And he wrote Psalms 23. Now we get to Psalms 24. And once again, what an uplifting, inspiring psalm. Psalms 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Everything is God's. He lets us use things. He lets us have things. He lets us enjoy so many wonderful things. But it's all his, and we're his as well. We're not our own. We're his. Says it right here. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods, the rivers. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? How are we ever going to come before God and worship him and be with him in the kingdom of God throughout eternity, face to face? Who's going to be there? Well, it tells us right here in verse 4, he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. In other words, he has holy, righteous, godly character that God has put in him as a result of the choices that he makes every day, or she, and as a result of the attitude of, not my will, but your will be done. Therefore, obedience is going to be the way they live, obedience to God. And the qualifications for being a king, as outlined here in verse 4, will be right there in that individual's life. Therefore, they'll be able to stand before God and serve God and be in his presence. That's a tremendous blessing to contemplate and a tremendous goal to aim for. He shall receive the blessing from the Eternal and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek your face, O Jacob, Selah. Think about that, is what that word means. Take a pause. Verse 7, Psalms 24, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be you lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. He's coming. Jesus Christ is coming. Open the gates. Open the doors. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. That's who he is. Lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And he is coming back to this earth. He's going to establish his headquarters at Jerusalem. And he's going to come into the lives of everyone that is alive on this earth. He will never, ever turn his back on them. They can turn their back on him and walk away. But he'll be there for those who submit to him and surrender to him. He's coming back, and he's coming into the situation on this earth and into the life of everyone that will be alive on this earth. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. Chapter 25 now of Psalms. Psalms 25 and verse 1. Unto you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. And we can ask God that as well. Please don't let me be trampled underfoot of evil people. And please don't allow me to be put in situations where I'm just embarrassed and put to shame. Protect me. Protect others. Look after your work and your church and your people. We trust in you. We depend on you. We know you will never let us down. Verse 3. David said and prayed and sung, and so can we. Yea, let none that wait on you be ashamed. that wait in faith. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. And here are two very, very important verses in the Bible that Mr. Armstrong has said we should all memorize and know by heart and think about regularly. Psalms 25 and verse 4, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. I want to learn, I want to understand. Help me to learn, help me to understand. Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day long. So wonderful to read those verses often. Verse 6, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember thou for your goodness' sake, O Lord. And God tells us in other places in the Bible that when we deeply repent, not only does he forgive us of our sins, he forgets them. He doesn't remember them. We have a clean slate. We can go forward and never turn back to those sins. And go forward in obedience to him. That's what he wants us to do. Verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. He doesn't just turn his back on sinners and they just go into the lake of fire and he never gives them a chance. He gives everybody the same chance, a full opportunity to have their mind open and to live his way if they choose to. That's what it says right here. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. We were all sinners and he's teaching us in his way. And he's going to do that with every other human being who's ever lived. And David knew that. He understood the plan of salvation. He understood about the holy days and the festivals and kept them. The meek will he guide in judgment. See that? Here we find that word again. Meek and humble. Teachable. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Yeah, we have our part in our cup running over. Our part is to yield to God and obey him and ask him to help us do that and then do that. And then he will do so many wonderful things. And I think we've experienced that. And I think we are doing that. But we all need to do it more and grow in doing it with each passing year, each passing day. Verse 11, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. So please forgive me. What man is he that fears the eternal? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease or in goodness. Doesn't mean he's just going to sit around doing nothing. He's going to live in peace, tranquility. And life is going to be good, along with trials and tests, but it'll be good. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth, his descendants. Didn't say they would inherit heaven. They'll inherit earth, because that's where the inheritance is going to be. The meek shall inherit the earth, Jesus Christ said. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Those that stand in awe of him will find out otherwise hidden things about God and his way and his truth. Mine eyes are ever toward the eternal, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. He will rescue me. Turn you unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted, lonely. And sometimes life is that way. We can ask God, please intervene and help me. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. And we can ask God to do that, and I hope we do, and he will. And ask that for others as well. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins, Father. Just wipe them out. Put them under the blood of Jesus Christ. Apply the stripes and sacrifice of Jesus Christ and forgive me. Forgive all of my sins. I repent deeply. God will respond to that if it's sincere and from the heart. Consider my enemies, for they are many and they hate me with cruel hatred. We do have persecutors. We do have people who try to do us harm. We don't have to go get them. We just have to go to God about it, and he'll take care of that. Verse 20, O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. And he's going to do that, but there's going to be a lot of trouble before he does it in order to bring Jacob around, the descendants of Jacob and the whole world around, to the position where they now can be taught and they will be teachable. So the time is coming when he will redeem all of mankind out of his troubles. But first, he has created so many troubles, he's going to have to learn the hard way. And then, when God has the full attention of humanity, and they're eager to learn his way and his truth, he will teach them the way that brings joy and happiness. And that way is to serve God and obey him and love him and love others. Now we come to Psalms chapter 26. Psalms chapter 26 and verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. And then the integrity that God gave him to walk in. I've trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide or slip. Do we have the courage to do this sometime in our prayers? Come before God and say, correct me, Father. Judge me. Examine me. Show me where I'm wrong. Help me to change that. And if you see I've done something right, thank you for helping me do that. And please bless me and bless others who've done things your way. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for your loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in your truth. That's what I'm about. That's how I live my life. That's me through and through. With your help, your love and mercy and compassion, I've tried to walk the path of truth. I don't want part of the truth, almost all the truth, a good part of the truth, a good amount of it, some of it, a little bit of it. I want it all, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And I want to walk down that path. And I have walked in your truth, David said, and I think we can say that we're trying to do that too. But let's bear down and press a little harder to do it. I've not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I hope we will take note of that. Idolatrous people, hypocrites, that's what David's talking about here. Need to be careful who our companions are. Don't take time and waste our time with people that are not interested in trying to do the right thing. You may have to be around them at work. You may have to be around them family reunions and whatever, and we can let our light shine and be kind to them. But we shouldn't get into close socializing and associating with people who are vain people and hypocrites and just have no interest in doing what God says. Rather, we ought to socialize and assemble and have friendships with people who are trying to do the right thing. And God will bless us with those kind of friends. And that rubs off, and we rub off on them, and the results are good for everybody. I have hated the congregations of evildoers, and there are churches and congregations and assemblies of evildoers. They don't want to obey God. They don't want to submit to God. They don't want to serve him. They want to do their own thing and that which is right in their own eyes and feel good about it at the same time. I have hated the congregations of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I'm going to sit with those that you've called out of this world into your church that are trying to do the right thing and finish your work. That's who I'm going to be with. That's the point here in verse 5 of Psalms 26, and God inspired David to put it right here. I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. You see, the gospel of the kingdom of God is to be preached to the whole world, but it's also to be published and proclaimed. That's the commission that he gives his church to do, and we all have a part in that, and others can too. And David did. Just as the apostles and other tremendous men and women that we read about in the Bible, and children too, whole families. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your honor dwells. I want to be where your people are congregated. I want to be at the Feast of Tabernacles where you place your name. I love coming before you, whether it's a little group or a large group or any size group. The point is, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your honor dwells. I want to be where you are and your people are, no matter how many might be there. The point is, they're your people before you. Gather not my soul with sinners, verse 9, nor my life with bloody men. I don't want to be around them, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes, and they can't be trusted. And they'll flatter, and they'll maneuver, and they'll charm, but they have ulterior motives, and there's a catch and a trick. And strings are attached. That's not who I want to be around. I want to be around upfront people, straightforward people, no guile, no hypocrisy. What you see is what you get. And that's the way God's people are who are filled with his Holy Spirit. I don't want to be around the kind of people described here. sinners and evil people and rebellious people who are full of bribes. Verse 11, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity that you have given me. Redeem me and be merciful unto me, David said. My foot stands in an even place, not on shaky ground, not on unsafe terrain, but on a solid foundation, the foundation, Jesus Christ, his truth, his word, his way, right there, on that solid foundation, my foot stands in an even place. Where? In the congregations of God, in the churches, among the people of God, in the congregations, David said, will I bless the Eternal. I will bless him with singing, with fellowshipping, with the right attitude, with prayer, with all those things that have to do with yielding to him and serving him and pleasing him. And that brings us to the end of Psalms chapter 26, and we'll pick it up next time as we continue this Bible study through the book of Psalms. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.